Would you stand with me as we look at God's Word? I think you'll find it behind here on the screen. I'm reading from the New King James Version, beginning with verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He's testified of His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he's not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now look at this. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And we pray that your word will go forth and speak to our hearts. So we pray that you'll bless the reading of the word. Pray that you'll bless the preaching of the word. And pray that you'll bless the response to the word of God today. Holy Spirit of God, we depend upon you to speak to our hearts today, that we might hear your voice and respond in obedience. Thank you for the assurance of salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you for being our Lord and our Savior. Bless this time together as we worship in God's Word, and we give you all the praise and all the glory, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about blessed assurance. I like that old song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Then it goes on to say, this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. I hope that blessed assurance is your story. I pray that you have assurance of salvation. And because some people don't. And sometimes you'll ask a person, do you have assurance of salvation? And they'll say, well, I hope so. Or I think so. I think I do. And some of them will say, well, I'm trying. But they really don't have the assurance of the salvation. Now, if you don't have your assurance of salvation, then you'll never have a peace in your heart. Amen? And then if you don't have the peace of God in your heart, then you'll never really be productive as God wants you to be as a child of God. So I'm going to share with you some things today, how that we can know that we're saved, and they're all found in this chapter. Kind of reminds me of the little girl, and this is a true story, but there was a girl named Vivian in our church, and she was from Iraq, and her mother had moved back to the United States, and they were in our church. I baptized her mother and also baptized her. But I was meeting with Awana on Wednesday night, and I asked him this question. I said, how do you know that I'm going to go to heaven? And she raised her hand because she always spoke out, and she says, because you're old and because you're going to die. And of course, we just lost it then. But I want you to know, God wants us to know without a shadow of a doubt that we're saved. And so I want us to look at, first of all, and you'll find this up on the screen, the first way that we can know that we're saved is because of the Word of God. Remember when we read verse 13? He said, these things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. God wants us to know. Now, the basis of our salvation is upon the facts, all right? Not feeling. It's based upon facts. And so God has given us the facts. He calls it the testimony here concerning His Son. So the theme of the letter of John that we're looking at today is written to those who believe that they might know that they have eternal life. God wants us to know that we have eternal life. And when you look at the Gospel of John, it's a little bit different. It's the same author, that wrote both books. But when you look at the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John has a different theme. And this is it. And this is what he says. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. So the theme of the Gospel of John is written that they might know that Jesus is the Son of God, and knowing that Jesus is the Son of God, put their faith and their trust in Him as their Savior. Then the Epistle of John, or the letter of John, was written with the theme, it's written to those who believe, that now having believed in Christ, that they might have assurance that they have eternal life. And so we know by the Word of God and the testimony concerning His Son that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Eternal life is in Him. Salvation is in Him. And salvation is in Him and Him alone. And here's one of the true signs that a Christian, you know, knows the right thing. In chapter 5, verse 1, it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, it doesn't just talk about a head knowledge. The word believes means those who have trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior are born again by the Spirit of God, and Christ lives in them. So the basis of our salvation is faith in Christ and in Christ alone. It's not faith in the church. It's not faith in baptism. It's not faith in our works or our goodness, but it's faith in Christ and in Christ alone that we have salvation. So the basis of our salvation is based upon what God's Word says concerning His Son, Jesus. And all of those who believe on Him have the assurance of salvation. The Bible says in John 5:24, it says, He who hears My Word and believes in Him who sent Me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. And then the Word of God is believable. It's believable. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's something supernatural about the Word of God. Of course, it's God-breathed. It's God's Word. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. But what is so special about the Word of God is when the Word of God is proclaimed, it creates a divine disturbance in a person's heart, making them aware of their need to Jesus and pointing them to Christ. So the basis of our salvation is the Word of God. If you've done what God's Word says concerning His Son, Jesus, and that means to put your trust and your faith in Him as your Lord and Savior, then according to God's Word, you have done what He asked you to do to be saved. Then I'm not going to take the time to do this morning because time won't allow, but if you was to look in the Gospel, not the Gospel of John, but in this book of John, you'll find that he gives several tests and several assurances of salvation. And I want to encourage you to look at those. But we know that we're saved by the Word of God, the testimony that He has given us of His Son, that eternal life is in Him. So if you have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have done what God asked you to do. And so, if you haven't done that, I pray that even before this day is over, that you'll receive Christ into your heart as your own personal Lord and Savior. Now, here's the second assurance that we can have of our salvation. And it's this. Not only assured of our salvation by the Word of God, but we're also assured of our salvation by the work of Christ. And when you look at the scripture that we read just a few moments ago, we read where eternal life is in the Son. And so our salvation is in Him. And the Bible says this in Titus 3:5. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. So our salvation is not based on our works. It's not based on our goodness. And if you're basing your getting to heaven or acceptance with Christ on your works, you'll never have assurance. Because you and I could never be good enough or do enough to be accepted by God. That's why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sin. And the Bible says this in Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're saved by grace, by faith, grace, God's unmerited favor. We read in the scripture where it is the salvation is a gift of God, and it's not according to works. I was preaching a revival one time, and one of the deacons came up, a young deacon came up and spoke to me, and he said he was at work, and he came under conviction. He'd been in church most of his life, and he said God began to deal with him that he was not saved. And this is what he told him, and I made a sermon from this, but he says, you've been trying to work your way to heaven, and all you can do is work your way to hell. And I thought how true that is. You can work your way to hell, for the Bible says, for by the wages of sin is death. And all that we could ever earn, and all that we ever deserve is separation to death from God. But you can work your way to hell if you want to, but I want you to know you cannot work your way to heaven. Heaven is a gift. Salvation is a gift. And it's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a gift of God, lest none should boast. And someday when we get to heaven, there'll be no bragging except on Jesus. Amen? Because he's the one who shed his blood for us. On the cross, we know that to be true because on the cross, the last words he says is, it's finished. And that's what Christianity is. It's the completed work of God through Christ on the cross of Calvary. And then the disciples, not the disciples, but the Pharisees, asked Jesus one time, what must we do that we might do the works of God? And in John chapter 6, he said, this is a work of God, that you believe on him whom I'm sent. So our salvation is in Christ. Our salvation is in what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. If there had been no cross, there would be no salvation. All right? But he shed his blood, took our sin, died on the cross in our place, and that's the way of salvation. And you find this grace all through the Old Testament, not just the New Testament. Some people think in the Old Testament, you're saved by the law, and then the New Testament, you're saved by grace. That's not true. It's grace all the way through. And one good example is in Ezekiel chapter 44. In Ezekiel chapter 44, it tells how to approach God and how the priests were to approach God because God is a holy God. A holy God. And so he told them that they were to purify themselves. And he told them that they were to wear white bonnets. They were to wear white linen robe. And then he said this. He said, you're also to wear white linen breeches. And everything about the white linen represents the holiness and the righteousness of God without which man could never approach God. And then he said this, and I thought, why did he say this? But he also said to them, wear white linen and do not wear wool because wool will make you sweat. And I thought, why did he say that? It'll make you sweat, and here's why. Because when you approach God and you come before a holy God, you do not come to God on the basis of your sweat or your works. You come to God on the basis of a blood sacrifice that he offered for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. So when it comes to assurance of salvation, I tell them, when you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, don't sweat it. Amen? Don't sweat it. Because I want you to know it's our acceptance and our righteousness has been imputed to us. He took our sin on himself on the cross and made the greatest deal of all time, the deal of grace, and imputed to us our account, his righteousness. And the basis of our acceptance before him is his righteousness. And it's all a result when Jesus died on the cross. All right? So, the basis of our assurance is, have we done what God's word says concerning Christ? Then, also, are we basing our salvation upon the work of Christ? And then here's the last thing. We base our salvation on the witness of the Holy Spirit. Now, this gets real personal, because there are some people who have a knowledge of the Word of God. They have an understanding about the cross of Jesus, that He died on the cross, but they have not had a personal transformation take place in their life. Well, that happens when a person trusts Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the witness, and we read about it here just a few moments ago, it says this: he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. And what happens is Jesus comes into a person's life. And Jesus told Nicodemus about this. He says, you must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. And he was talking about a spiritual transformation that takes place when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then Jesus Christ comes into your heart in the person of the Holy Spirit. You're born into the family of God. You're a child of His, and the Spirit lives in you. He'll never leave you, and He'll never forsake you. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. And one of the evidences that we are saved is when the Spirit of God comes in, who is the Holy Spirit, because He is holy, He changes our person. We're not the same anymore. We're different because He lives in us. We're never alone anymore. And let me read to you this out of the book of Ephesians, what it says. In the book of Ephesians, when does this take place? Chapter 1, verse 13 says this: in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. See, there's the word. And you trusted. You believed. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel, that's good news, of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. And so after a person believes on Jesus and trusts Him as their Lord and Savior, then Christ comes to live in them through the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit is a sign of sonship, that we belong to Him and we're joint heirs with Christ. So how do we know we're saved? We know we're saved by what God's Word says. If we've done what God's Word says concerning His salvation in Christ, and having trusted Him as our own personal Savior, invited Him into our heart, and believing and accepting the work that He did for us on the behalf of us on the cross of Calvary, not trusting our own works, but trusting the sacrifice that He made in our behalf on the cross, and then because of the witness of the Holy Spirit of God. Because when the Holy Spirit comes in at the moment of salvation, you have a personal relationship with Him, all right? And your life begins to change. And according to the Gospel of John 14, 15, and 16, it talks about the Spirit of God and how that we have the Comforter. He says the Comforter will come, or the Paraclete will come and live inside of you. And what that is that's God looking after His interest in us while we're here on earth. You see? Because we're a child of God, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So I've shared with you how you can be saved and how you can know that you're saved. And there's some people go through lifetimes struggling with that. They don't have the assurance, or they wonder. So if you've done what God's Word says concerning Christ, then according to His Word, you can know that you've been saved. And also, if you're trusting the work of Christ, not your works or your goodness, because you could never do enough. And the very best day of your life would not be enough, and it would not give you peace. But the assurance that we have is that we know that we can come before God, you know, and are accepted to God on the basis of what His Son did for us on the cross of Calvary. And then that personal application is the Holy Spirit of God. You know when Christ comes into your life. And I know whenever I was saved at 9 years old, one of the things that I remember more than anything else is there was a peace. There was a peace. And I know that something took place. My sin was forgiven. My sin was under the blood of Christ. And that's what Jesus did for me. And you have a peace that passes all understanding. Amen? Amen. God wants you to know. He wants you to know that you know that you know that you're saved. Now, I'm getting ready to close. A few weeks ago, I was on Facebook. Well, it's been a couple of months ago. And I saw one of my classmates, and his sister had posted on Facebook that we pray for him. His name is Donnie. And that we pray for him, that he was in the hospital, and that he had cancer. So I texted her back, and I said, would you call me? And she called me. And I talked to her about Donnie, and I said, at what stage is his cancer? And she said, stage 4. And so I began to really think about Donnie. We had a lot of fun in high school, did a lot of fun things together. But I began to think about him, and I thought, you know, and I was pretty certain, knowing his life, that he never went to church, and most likely didn't know Jesus as his Savior. Now, friend, I want you to know, if you're a born-again child of God, you can't sit by and not do nothing when you know people are lost. And so I thought about him, and I began to pray for him, and I said, God, just open the door that I can talk to him. And so on a Friday morning, that's when I felt God wanted me to go a couple of months ago. And so I drove to Joplin to Mercy Hospital. I prayed that God would just open the door where I could talk to him. And I went in and I met his sister, and you know, that was there. And she took me to his room where he was, and I began to talk to him. And this is what I asked him. I said, Donnie, do you have assurance of salvation? And he said, no, I don't. And I said, would you like to have assurance of salvation and know that your sin is forgiven and heaven is your home? And he said, yes, I do. And you know what I read to him? I read this passage right here. I read this passage right here. And he prayed there in the hospital room to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I said, Donnie, Jesus is coming to your heart, right? Yes. Did you mean it? Yes. And he said, I have a peace in here inside of me. I said, are they going to do, what kind of treatment are you going to be receiving now? Thinking they'd give him, chemo and things like that. And he said, they're sending me home to hospice. He never even went home. He went to the nursing home there in Cassville, Missouri, and I found out about it. So I began to go back with him every single week to pray with him, and because he hadn't been a Christian very long. And as you grow in Christ, you should be growing in knowledge and understanding of your relationship with Christ. And so I went and visited with him every week. And last week was my last week to visit him. And yesterday, I had his funeral. And I shared with them, I'm going to share with you what I shared with Donnie. Because listen, the most important thing in your life is that you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. And that you know that your sin is forgiven. That's where you start. So my question to you is the same one that I asked him that day. And this is a question. This is what I want to present to you. Do you have assurance of salvation? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Has there been a time and a place in your heart where you trusted Christ and invited him to come in your heart to be your Savior and your Lord? God wants you to be sure. And you can be. You can be. Would you bow your head with me and close your eyes? Right now, where you are, do you have assurance of salvation? Well, if you base your salvation upon what Christ did for you on the cross, and you've invited Christ to come in your heart and be Savior of your life and Lord of your life, and you know that there was a time that your life was changed, that Jesus lives in you, His Spirit bearing witness with you, your spirit, that you're a child of God, then you can rejoice. But there may be some of you here this morning, you don't have that assurance. And right now, where you are, just pray and say, Lord, I don't have this assurance. And I want to be sure that I'm saved. Lord, I am trusting you as my Lord and Savior, that what you did on the cross was in my behalf. Come into my heart and save me now and be the Lord of my life. Right now, you can pray a similar prayer in your own words and mean it. And Jesus always honors His word and the work of His Christ, work of Christ, and the witness of the Spirit will come and live and dwell in you. There may be some of you that are Christians, and you're missing out on the joy of walking with the Lord because maybe you've strayed from Him, or there's some sin in your life, some things that you're doing that aren't pleasing to Him. Or there may be some things in your life that you're not doing, and you're not growing in Christ, and you're not walking daily with Christ. And I want you to know, when Christ comes into your heart, that's a person. That's a person. And He wants to fellowship with you. And you have a relationship with Him. Are you feeding that relationship in His Word daily and spending time in prayer with Him? Father, as we come to you during this invitation, God, do your greatest work. May your Holy Spirit transform and change lives today. I pray that those who have prayed in their seats that will come forward and make that public that they've received Christ. There may be some who just need to come to the altar and they've strayed away from you. And Lord, I pray that you'll draw them close to you this morning. Be glorified, Jesus. You're the Son of God. You're our Savior. Our salvation rests in you. Bless now in this invitation, and we give you the glory and all the praise for what you're going to do. Amen. Let's